The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Big Monday edition, the two-year anniversary of Dobbs. The ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade. Dom, welcome to the big show.
Hey, Crudy, happy Monday to you. Aaron, working the board hard for us. Thank you, sir. 844-967-2789.
And just for the record, it's a big debate week. And we were having one in hour one. Where were you, people? Many of the texters, like your intellectual purity, I less so. But we're moving on because we've got some fine guests to tell you about. We're going to move forward topically. Dr. Kristen Lierley, a congressional candidate from Green Bay, Wisconsin, joining the show at 4:30 today. And, you know, the Biden team's got quite a few surrogates out and about, Dom. In fact, Elizabeth Warren going to be in Madison at 6 o'clock tonight. I RSVP'd. Majestic Theater, you can all be there. My understanding, you might have to go let the Democratic Party know who you are. You got to give them some personal information so if, you know, they can solicit you for your vote.
Oh, of course.
And some dollars and tell you about all the big surrogates here on behalf of the Biden-Harris campaign, including Senator Elizabeth Warren. And Aaron's got some sound of our Vice President, Aaron. And his dark glasses is sitting in for Rich today. Aaron, if you would please play the vice president marking the two-year anniversary of Dobbs.
Today in America, one in three women, one in three women of reproductive age lives in a state with an abortion ban. Many with no exception even for rape or incest. Today, our daughters know fewer rights than their grandmothers. Wow. Donald Trump handpicked three members of the United States Supreme Court because he intended for them to overturn Roe v. Wade. And as he intended, they did. So, it was premeditated.
Premeditated. That word has sort of a special meaning, does it not?
Wow.
Coming in, yeah, out of a prosecutor's mouth.
One in three. It is a stunning number. And this is exactly what Trump wants. This is what, you know, Trump, it's all on him.
He's so bragged about
this,
it.
If you want more of this, then Trump's your guy. And there's certainly going to be some of those out there. But some of the stories, man, are just heartbreaking. You know, people can't get the care they need. I mean, not every pregnancy goes perfect, obviously. I know there's maybe some old white guys that maybe don't understand exactly how it works. But, you know, and sometimes there needs to be an abortion for the sake of the baby, for the mother, for the life of the mother and so forth. And the Republicans don't give a damn. They don't. They see sperm be egg and human being now and all bets are off. Go ahead, Aaron.
I was working as a pharmacy tech when Dobbs came through, and there were multiple times where things happened, but the one that really stuck with me is we got a call like, hey, please be sensitive about this. This mother just lost a very desired pregnancy. They've been trying for years, finally had a baby, and now there's a miscarriage. They need abortion drugs in order to not have a dead fetus and carry it around.
Yeah, yeah.
And the pharmacist was like, I might get arrested for this. I can't do it because then I can't help other people. And so this woman just had to surf around for pharmacies, and I don't really know what happened ultimately. But having her come through the drive-thru and be like, hey, listen, we couldn't do it. It was just absolutely heartbreaking.
Wow. Wow. That's terrible. And then for the state, right, for the government to force a mother to what, pass a dead fetus? Because that's what their God says, I guess. There's such practical implications to it. And women's lives are literally in danger. I mean, they're going to have abortions. They have. Now they're just going to start dying more from it. And so thank you, Republicans. If that's what you want, well, Trump's your guy.
Dom, I know that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson won re-election in 2022. That was the cycle of Dobbs. But basically, he was the only one, right? I mean, Evers won re-election. Josh Call won re-election. And since that point, we've seen Protasiewicz win a double-digit victory to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I would wonder, Dom, Republicans in this state, they still don't know how to answer the question, do they? You know, what's the right answer? I mean, Ron's still out there pushing some sort of meaningless referendum. We got to ask the people their opinions on abortion. Well, why don't you allow them to make their own decisions on the topic, Ron?
Right. There's an idea. I mean, you are the Freedom Party, right? You're all about freedom and personal responsibility and small government. Well, what is your government doing in the bedroom? What is your government doing in the delivery room or in the abortion clinic?
Well, I heard a Republican state lawmaker from the state of Wisconsin today, Scott Krug, discuss the fact, you know, you gotta set some limitations on the women. Otherwise, they're out there like infants carrying around guns.
Hmm.
And I thought, what a strange analogy, because you barely limit infants from carrying around guns. But somehow you analogize that women are infantile in their decision-making process, and therefore, wow, sir, you must step in and make the very important decisions for them, because otherwise they would make dangerous decisions if left to their own devices, Dom. And
wow,
it is a bit of a paraphrase, but barely. Yeah, barely. Yeah. I mean, he was talking about, you know, left to their own devices and be dangerous. Women would be dangerous if left to make their own decisions. That was his conclusion on Meg Alphison's show. Listen to a little Righty Whitey Talk Radio out of the Northwoods on the way home this morning.
So that was this weekend. That was the Wisconsin, state Republican legislator.
That was this morning.
That was this morning.
Driving down the road this morning, listening to the local yokel get interviewed.
Well, next thing they're going to want to have, credit cards, their own bank accounts, and no-fault divorce. I mean, what are we getting into here, Scott? Longing for the good old days.
844-967-2789. I am not clear that Republicans can win the state of Wisconsin without resolution to this issue that is satisfactory to women, not Republican lawmakers, but the women. And we don't have resolution. I mean, the immediate aftermath of the Dobbs decision was the reversion back to an 1849 law. As Dr. Kristen Lyerly pointed out, and again, she's our 4:30 guest today, you know, when that law was made, they didn't know what germs were. They didn't know that germs caused disease. You know, this is the level of science when the law was made and women didn't have the right to vote at that time. And this was the error that set this law, which a Dane County judge, where Madison, Wisconsin is located, has said is not really about abortion. It's about infanticide, about killing a baby, what, like punching the mom or doing harm to a baby while in the womb for malicious reasons. You know, that's something different than a mother taking some control over her own body. But it's still not decided. And although they are now performing abortive care in a couple of the major markets, and I'm talking about Planned Parenthood, the services are greatly diminished, and women are driving a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, 2 years, Tom. And again, the environment has gotten no better for the Republican Party. And Donald Trump's going to go on the debate stage this Thursday night. Is he claiming this one, or is he going to give the soft shoe? Is he going to give the Scott Walker the, well, you know, it's a difficult decision to be made by a woman and her doctor? Remember when Scott Walker lied through his teeth in a campaign ad in 2014 seeking re-election against Mary Burke and basically said, you know, this is between a woman and her doctor, and then came back and promptly defunded Planned Parenthood as much as he could. So Trump is either going to have to get up Thursday night in the debate format and lie, or he is going to have to say what he's been saying, which is, I did that. I picked these three judges, these justices, to the court. I stripped those rights away. And he continuously claims this is a good thing. Leave it to the states, state by state. I heard Laura Trump saying that over the weekend. Well, you know, he did the thing. He did it, took it back to democracy, took it back to the states. Well, that's what they tried doing with slavery, Dom. You know, when there is a federal right that is taken away, it's not usually beholden on many of the southern states, the red states, and those that are governed by Republicans. You know, somehow it doesn't balance out. The rights are no longer extended to the women. Often it's the women losing the rights, Dom.
Yeah, funny how that works. A New York Times reporting here briefly, Curdy, a Democratic-leaning group announced on Monday the beginning of a seven-figure campaign to focus voter attention on the importance of the Supreme Court in the presidential election, with a heavy emphasis on the court's role in issues like abortion, gun safety, and voting rights. The group Stand Up America is kicking off the $1 million campaign on the second anniversary of Dobbs. Again, in the New York Times, one statistic they put out there based on their research, internal polling conducted by Stand Up America found that nearly 75% of voters said that whom a presidential candidate would appoint to the Supreme Court will play a role in their selection in November. A lot of people very aware of this issue.
Folks, we are the devil's advocates. I do so wish Sarah Godlewski had stayed in that primary race and given the voters an alternative. And not that Mandela wasn't a great candidate. We always loved Mandela Barnes. But that campaign, that 2022 against Ron Johnson, it suddenly became an issue of women's rights. And there was no woman there for the electorate to choose from. Not on primary day. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. It's a big Monday when you join us at 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Back from the 420 break. Love it when you join us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, interesting you would play the legalize it. You know, the big debate coming Thursday night between Trump and Biden. And most of right-wing media right now is saying Joe Biden's got to do a drug test.
Come on.
I know. I'm like, the guy's 81. What do you think he's smoking? Very little. Maybe some edibles on the weekends when he's back in Delaware. Who knows? But I don't think Biden's on drugs, Dom. And it's interesting, you know, Sleepy Joe, they're all saying, well, they're going to jack him up. That's the term they're using. He's going to be all jacked up. And I even saw Ronnie Johnson, don't call him Jackson.
What, Jackson, don't call him Johnson?
Well, his real name is Jackson, but since Trump started calling him Johnson, you know, he's
had to do the
Glenn Grothman and started calling himself Johnson. But the congressman, former White House, physician?
Dr. Feelgood?
Dr. Feelgood, the guy apparently was giving out all the drugs. He's loudly calling for the drug testing of Joe Biden. And I'm thinking to myself, A, takes one to know one, Dr. Feelgood, but B, who the hell are you, you partisan hack? Why do you get a say in whether or not Joe Biden's going to have a drug test? You know, just because Trump allowed you to examine him?
You know, if Joe Biden was as feeble and incoherent, can't string two sentences together, and all the things, he can't stand on his feet for 90 minutes, he's a stutterer, and all the things that they claim he's to be, he should be easily defeated by the wily businessman, executive, former president that is strongest man ever, Donald Trump. I mean, so there's this continual lowering of the expectations. I mean, at least they're showing the hands, they're telling. I mean, their behavior tells you exactly what they're thinking. It's like when Donald Trump in February before the election, when we're still full on COVID, was talking about mail-in ballots, he's going to cost him the election and the whole thing's rigged. He kind of laid out what his thoughts were. There you go. That's going to be the thing. And now these Republicans are all, apparently, you know, Joe is now the great debater. And he's too good. He's going to be wired up, all jacked up. And that's not great for our candidate, I guess.
Dominic, Rep. Ronnie Jackson, Republican from Texas, Dr. Ronnie, Dr. Feelgood Jackson, made his request for a clinically validated drug test in a three-page message to Biden and his physician, Dr. Kevin O'Connor. So you're not Biden's physician is what you're saying? This drug test should be administered both immediately before and after the debate and should include but not limited to performance-enhancing drugs.
What would like taking anabolic steroids do to help Joe Biden?
He said debates have given the American public the opportunity to gain critical insight into specific policy positions held by individual candidates, to demonstrate each candidate's leadership qualities and style, and to observe the candidate's ability to perform in an unscripted and high-pressure environment. American citizens must have absolute confidence in their president's ability to perform his or her duties as the head of state and commander-in-chief, and a debate performance absolutely should be indicative of an individual's ability to perform these critical duties free of any performance-enhancing drugs or mood-altering medications, the letter
said. Why now?
He pointed to a recent Wall Street Journal report. Now, I'm reading from Fox News. Understand, the Wall Street Journal, also a Rupert Murdoch rag these days, Dom. Jackson pointed to a recent Wall Street Journal report that cited interviews with more than 40 people to paint a picture of an 81-year-old leader losing his sharpness, even as problems at both home and abroad grow more complex. So lots of people say Joe's old. Therefore,
he must replace him with a 78-year-old feeble man who's, you know, losing his mind talking about batteries and sharks. I mean, even if you take everything they say for granted as truth and logical and factual, then their bright idea is to replace that guy with Donald Trump. No drug testing for the Donald man. No cognitive test for the 78-year-old. It's all about Joe. I've literally seen things fly out of that guy's nose when he's speaking. You know what I mean? I'm not clear that this is something we really need to go down the road to. But I mean, if you got the regiment, you got the regiment, man. I mean, 81 years old, he's probably taking something. If you're not, good on you, Joe. I hope I'm like you when I get to be that age. But I'm not clear that I'd Jackson, Johnson, whatever the hell his name is anyone to give any suggestion about anything to do with drugs.
Joe's going to test positive for Metamucil, I feel quite confident of. Is that performance enhancing?
I mean, maybe. Just not live on the stage.
We've got a fine guest coming soon. No drugs required for her. She's a smart lady, Dr. Kristen Lierley. And Dom, the future opponent, she, you know, is the only declared Democrat in the 8CD congressperson in waiting in the state of Wisconsin. But her opponent's Tony Weed. If ever there was a guy that merited a drug test, it's Tony Weed, is it not?
It's in the name.
You know,
don't forget there's Andre Jacques and the other guy.
Jacques just high on God. And Roth, if Roth's on anything, it's Valium. Some barbiturates.
As a general rule, should I mean, we give drug tests for, you know, employment sometimes, and depends on, of course, the employer. But should we instill, should there be some sort of drug test for our elected officials? Is that something we should be concerned about?
Well, if they don't take drugs, they don't deserve your vote.
I don't know. Apparently, coming back after one of Trump's trial days in New York, some of those Republicans were pretty lit up on the floor. Obviously, we know Derek Van Orden has a fridge full of beer.
Oh, well, he's a big boozer, Dom. It's totally different.
Oh, right.
That's the good. Alcohol, that's the good drug.
Oh, okay, okay.
So that whatever you get from Dr. Ronnie, he's got the good stuff. Just ask.
Hey, I got a prescription for it. It's totally fine. The doctor said it's okay.
We got
the doctor is in.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us next. Maybe she'd give us a script for something.
My arm is broken.
Don't criticize it.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We welcome back a fine guest. She is a congressional candidate, a doctor, an OBGYN by vocation, and hopefully a friend of ours, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Welcome back.
Hey, Kristen.
Thanks, guys. I am a friend of yours, and I'm so excited to be back with you, especially today, because you may have heard it is the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision. And man, we have a lot to say about it.
Kristen, you started the day doing a press conference with Ben Wickler, right? The Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. How'd the day start and how's it going so far?
Yeah, I actually started the day with Todd Elba on Pat Kreitlow's show Up North News this morning. And then, yeah, we had a press conference, did a little bit on MSNBC. We just had a listening session over in Shawano. You wouldn't believe in places like Shawano, Wisconsin. Tonight, we're doing a rally in Kewaunee at 6. If you're in the area, come and join us. We're going to be shouting the word abortion in Kewaunee. Who would have ever expected that? But that's where we're at right now in this country. And it's because it's not just about abortion anymore. It's about contraception. It's about IVF. It's about our existential rights, our freedoms. So there's so much at stake here, guys, and it's full court press for us.
Dr. Lyerly, how much has your life personally changed in the last 2 years since the Dobbs ruling?
Entirely. I started working outside of Wisconsin, delivering babies, helping people with, you know, general OBGYN, like menopause issues, birth control, that kind of stuff. Because of the Dobbs decision, because I stepped up and I joined the Attorney General's lawsuit over the 1849 criminal abortion ban. And I'm really proud to say that it's my name that's on that judgment that returned abortion to Wisconsin here in Dane County. But because that suit is still working its way through the courts, it's been appealed and it's likely to go to the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, it's still not settled law. So I continue to practice outside of the state to avoid things like Pro-Life Wisconsin attacking my medical license in a totally unwarranted way. I'm a target because I'm using my voice, because I have to use my voice. My patients need me to use my voice. Actually, I was just in Shawano earlier today, and a woman who is an old farm wife, she describes herself as, probably in her 70s, I walked up and she said, "I don't like abortion, but I stand with you." And she handed me an envelope. And it is her story with her reproductive history and why she supports people's ability to receive abortion care. These are the stories that people are telling in all of these unlikely places. That is how I know that even though abortion doesn't poll high when people are asked about the political things that they care about, we know that it is compelling and we know that people are going to get out to vote on it because they care about it.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us. She is a congressional candidate for Wisconsin's 8th. Kristen, always a pleasure. I'd like to say happy anniversary, but it is not a happy anniversary. The Republicans continue their push. It's not just on abortion. It's also on contraception as well. And, you know, some of the statistics and things that I've heard about, you know, the pregnancies that don't go right. Mm-hmm. I mean, how often from your experience or even statistics that you can throw out there, does a pregnancy just go normal? Or how often is there a miscarriage? I know it's the 10%, is it 20%? Because there's lots of things that can go wrong. And in some of those cases, there needs to be additional care. There might have to be an abortion for a family that wants the baby. And it's breaking their heart to do so, but something goes south in the pregnancy. How often do those kinds of things happen, doctor?
Well, I'll tell you that 1 in 4 women in this country have an abortion, and that there is data that supports that up to 50% of pregnancies end in miscarriage. Some of them occur very, very early, and people might just think they're having a heavy period, but miscarriage is actually really, really common. The heartbreaking stories we hear are typically people who have a desired pregnancy, and they get to that point in the pregnancy where all the fetal organs are developed so that we can do an ultrasound and just make sure everything looks good. And at about 18, 19 weeks, we look and we find out that maybe this baby doesn't have a brain. Maybe this baby has some other major problems that we know the baby won't survive, even though this is a very wanted child. And these families are then faced with incredibly difficult circumstances. Do they continue the pregnancy? That should be an option for them. Should they be able to deliver early and maybe hold their baby until they die? Yes, they need to have all of their options so they can make the best choice for them. And they need to receive that care in their community, where their support is, where their people are, because we're not just talking about getting your oil changed. This is a huge event that happens in people's lives, and it affects them now and far, far into the future. We have to take care of each other.
And doctor, it's not just, you know, Democrats or liberals' lives. It's conservatives, it's Republicans, it's independents. I mean, this happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. Is there a silent majority? But I mean, I have to assume there's some folks out there, perhaps like the elderly farm woman who gave you her story, that aren't maybe as vocal about it, but still have gone through some challenges and recognize that although maybe their politics or their religion may not allow for it, it's something that they think that is necessary for those who might want it. You think there's a chunk of those people out there?
I know there are people out there like that because they're my patients. You know, it is not uncommon for somebody to come to my office. There are two different levels. We think about it on this big, high political level, like what would you do if? But when it's actually happening to you, it's a very different situation. And there have been many times where people have come to my office and said, I am pro-life and I've always been against abortion care, but now I'm in this situation. And for many of them, it is an added stressor because their ideology and their belief system is different than what they're actually facing. And that requires a whole different level of care from me, from my care team, from the support people in their community. Yeah, it's challenging, but you know, you're right, Dom. Everybody has the potential to face a challenging reproductive scenario like this. And it isn't just limited to reproductive health. This happens with cancer diagnoses. This happens when someone has a heart issue, which is actually very, very common. We have to have the ability to make our own decisions about our own personal health care.
Folks, she is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Kristen, reproductive rights are a financial issue. Women must have some control over their own bodies, or they really don't have control over their own finances, do they?
No, that is a huge piece of this. Earlier today, and I can't substantiate and give you numbers, but I heard that one of the primary reasons that people get abortion care is because, frankly, they just can't afford to add another child to their family or to start their families right now. That's another conversation I had with a friend in Shawano today. She said, in the future, I'd love to get pregnant and have a family, but now's not the time. I can't support a baby. My husband doesn't have a job that can support a baby. We just can't do this with our family. And I need to know that I have access to reliable contraception. And that's why opening this door, when we see Republicans threatening to take away our contraception, that's a whole different ballgame. Right now, we as women, as families, can determine what's happening in our lives now and what the next step is, what the course of our future is. But without that, Or on the other hand, without IVF, where we can start our families and determine that path for our future, that is absolutely devastating for people and families. We have to give people the ability to control their own destinies.
Kristen, if elected to Congress, what is the path to codifying Roe v. Wade? Is there a legislative path?
There is. Tammy Baldwin just introduced it. It is the Women's Health Protection Act. She introduced it, I think, earlier this spring. But this is a piece of legislation that has been introduced maybe three or four times already. It codifies Roe. It ensures access to birth control. It is a really great piece of legislation. Currently, it has not been able to get a toehold. But, you know, Tammy Baldwin does some pretty tough things. I don't know if you remember when she ensured that gay marriage was protected after Dobbs. I mean, she can really make things happen. So it is my dream to work with Senator Baldwin in the future to get the Women's Health Protection Act across the line.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly, when we were discussing your appearance here on the big show today, you told me, and I had heard a quote from Reed Ribble, a former congressman, and Reed said effectively a candidate just like you could win the 8th CD. And did you think he was basically describing your resume?
I think he was. First of all, I have so much respect for Reed Ribble, and I always have. He is a conservative. He is a Republican, but he is a fellow who believes in community, and he believes in working together, and that has been his entire history. I remember when I took my oldest son to Washington, D.C., he welcomed us into his office. We had a delightful conversation. I have so much respect for him. And when he came out and acknowledged that this district is not what it looks like on paper, you know, things are changing in this district, and that an authentic candidate with great fundraising numbers could bring this home for the Democrats. Hello, KristenForWisconsin.com. Let's go.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine candidate for Congress on the show. She is an OBGYN, a doctor by trait. Dr. Lyerly, obviously, abortive rights and reproductive rights have dominated the conversations. But what else are people telling you? What else do you think are the issues that'll hopefully help you win this seat?
As an OBGYN doctor, people feel really comfortable just coming up to me and sharing their deeply personal stories. And I love that. But in greater conversation, you know, these are not the conversations that we're having like at breakfast on the farm for the most part. People are wanting to talk about things like the cost of gas or how expensive it is to put groceries on your table. Or I'm always hearing people who are concerned about the border. They're tired of politics. They're tired of these political footballs that keep going back and forth, and solutions are not happening. I was watching an old debate between George W. Bush and Ronald Reagan from 1980 from their primary, and it was fascinating to see them talk about the border and to hear Ronald Reagan actually saying things like, we should open the border and let them go back and forth, and then they can pay taxes on the wages that they earn. And I thought, man, we have really shifted in the last, 50 years, 44 years. You know, people just want solutions. They're tired of politics, and that's what we're going to give them in the 8th Congressional District. We're restoring that sense of hope that they so desperately need right now.
Kristen, I happen to be listening to Right Wing Talk Radio in North Central Wisconsin today, and they were talking on Whitey Talk Radio about how they think they should be doing some outreach to Latinos. And do we know any Republicans that speak Spanish? Well, Green Bay, that Brown County media market, like 18% Latino. It's a huge part of the dynamic in the Green Bay electorate in the 8th CD. Kristen, how do you reach out to Latinos?
Well, I think you have to be there. You have to meet them where they're at. You have to talk to them and use community messengers and go to La Mas Grande, the Spanish-speaking radio station here in Green Bay that my friend Gabby runs. You have to actually hear, just like every other voter, you have to hear what they're saying, and you have to be able to respond to them in a meaningful way. It's trickier when you don't come from that community, but that doesn't mean that you're not invited. You just have to go there.
Kristen, if you are offered the opportunity to debate, let's say, Andre Jacques or perhaps the Tony Weed guy, will you demand a drug test of your opponents?
Boy, that is a question that I had not considered in advance. Mike, I'm going to have to think about that one.
Put it in your arsenal, because that's what they're asking Joe Biden for. But please continue.
Lyerly, we're going to be short on time here. They came for abortion. They're coming for IVF, coming for contraception. You know, going after one, you think like, well, they're not going to go after IVF. And they're going after another. No, they're not going to go after contraception. And then they are. What's left? Is there anything they haven't gone after? Or you think there's something that's going to come up in the next 60 seconds, Doctor?
Project 2025. I mean, read it. Yeah. You know, they're going after the federal government. They're going after, you name it, it's there. Acquaint yourself. It's incredibly important.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly, if people want to get more involved in your campaign, find out more about you, how would they do so?
KristenForWisconsin.com and all of the socials. I'm on Kristen for Wisconsin.
You know, someday we're going to have to call you Congressman. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thank you so much for coming around. It'll be a little weird, but we'll acclimate. We'll acclimate.
It'll be a great day.
Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you so much,
Thanks,
Kristen.
Guys. Thank Have you. A great day.
You too. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. Let's hear from you. 844-967-2789.
Radio social lines are open. Join us on the political party line, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, the fine one, a candidate for Congress in the 8th CD of the great state of Wisconsin. That's the Green Bay area. She's Dr. Kristen Lyerly, a OBGYN by vocation. I can get used to calling her congressman someday soon, Dom. Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Along with Friend of the Devil's Advocates. That's always the greatest title we can bestow upon.
There's no pinnacle higher than that.
Dom, some of the texters chiming in here. You can always be a part. 844-967-2789. It's phone line. It's a text line.
It's Monday.
Better not drug test me. Steve from Milwaukee says, why are we the only nation that has politicians in the exam room? It's a fair question. Only nation that politicizes healthcare, and it tears families apart. Lynn from Oconomowoc says, hey, Crudy and Dom, I believe I saw a video of Rojo, Ron Johnson, being interviewed regarding abortion. He said, we might lose a few women. She asked, are we disposable? Well, Lynn, as Ron said, it's going to get a little messy.
It might get a little messy, and you know, some of you might. You might die, but if you have the resources, you can go to Illinois. Thank you for that, Ron.
WMDX texter says, drug test them both before the debate on Thursday night. Cam's got a whole different idea. He thinks Biden should shotgun some Viagra, and then whatever results is going to create a weird optic for his opponent on the stage. And he'll be drawn to it.
You know,
as much as I can read aloud, Cam.
Right, I got you. I think Joe Biden should get a really good tan and dye his hair. That would totally throw Trump off.
Show up Hell, with maybe bronzer and blonde hair. A texter says, man, woman, person, camera, TV. Still got it. If they're against drugs, they should be tested. Well, even the Biden administration's been somewhat against drugs, not as liberal as some. Angie from Monroe said some of their drugs runs out of their system quickly, unlike marijuana, if you counted that. Well, I count it.
Marijuana's not a drug. I won't say the rest of it.
Okay, Bob Saget.
You want to really see the candidate? You know how I like to do it. They should both smoke a joint before this thing starts.
Pull a three, like the Bong Olympics in college.
Yeah, man. Take a couple of hits. You know, puff, pass. You know,
and then let's see how they react.
Let's see how they are when they're got a little THC action going on.
Well, I prefer to think, Dom, anyone that can make a cogent argument while drunk
because that's a rarity. Some people can do it, but that's a rare thing.
Well, most people think they can do it. Most people cannot.
We had some buddies in college. I don't know. Do you ever know Kelly Deasy and that crew?
I don't remember those.
Those guys used to do the Bong Olympics. And what they would do is there would be a shot, I believe, of like wild turkey, some sort of brown liquor. And then there would be a beer. And then there would be a 3-foot tube, or maybe 18 inches, 2 feet. I don't think it was the true 3-footer. And you would have to do each of them in sequence. So you would pull the tube, you would do a shot, you drink the beer, and then, and only then, could you release that tube, that smoke from your lungs.
You're holding your breath the whole time as you're holding that hit in.
And if you could do two of those, you deserve to be on the U.S. Olympic team. Or president, because I'm telling you, it is a very difficult task to achieve. It's one of my greatest accomplishments. That and this radio show, 844-967-2.
Low bar, baby, low bar.
789. Bill from Oconomowoc. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello, Bill.
Good afternoon, guys. With the upcoming debate, I'd like to make a few predictions. One, we're going to hear the word rigged for hours and hours before and after. Rigged, that's going to happen. Also, this drug testing, that'll come to new heights. And what's so hilarious, they already believe they're going to lose. That's how much they're panicking.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew you were going to win, you wouldn't do any of this. And so to my the crazies on the right side of the aisle, I'm saying, boy, you guys are really worried about Biden. You're already thinking of quitting. You're already thinking of charging him with drugs. You're thinking of calling it rigged. God, you don't stand a chance, do you?
Uncle Joe's in their head, Bill.
That's right. I think Biden ought to give Trump at least the majority of time and say, I've got plenty of time to be amused, Donald, speak, and sit down with a big smile on his face. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Bill. I'm not sure that they're supplying chairs, though.
967-2789. Mark, let's squeeze in. Last 60 seconds of the hour. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I don't remember the old thing called the power hitter, where you put the joint inside this little plastic squeeze bottle and then squeeze it out where you just inhale it in through your nose. So that was something that was around back in my day.
I had seen like a face mask turned into a bong, like where the whole face, you know, like a reverse gas mask, only it would trap the smoke inside.
Yeah, this thing was called the power hitter. I mean, I haven't seen one around for, you know, 40 years now, but that used to be, you know, back in the day, back in my...
The pads probably expired. You could probably roll those out all over again, Mark. Be a top seller. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. The happier, happy hour, a top seller around here. You can be a part. Doesn't cost you nothing. 844-967-2789. The political party rolls into the happier, happy hour. Stick around. I know you will.